This week's overseas correspondent is William Yang, and he's on the line from Taipei in Taiwan. Kia ora, William. Welcome back to Nights.
Thank you for having me again.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on. Your president, Tsai Ing-wen, has been inaugurated, but I'm guessing that maybe nobody was there, but perhaps it's different in Taiwan. You can still do things in the same room together.
Yeah, but in fact, they also made a lot of changes to the inauguration ceremony comparing to 4 years ago. So this time around, basically, the only people that are allowed in the actual ceremony are the government officials that are required to be there. And no media were allowed to be there. And the whole speech had been moved outdoor. And it was pretty clear that they made a very strict measure in terms of the distance between each participant under the stage. And also for the media, there's only 5 spots that are also separated from each other to take shots. So again, as we have seen from the last few months since the coronavirus outbreak started, Taiwan is, you know, also implementing a very strict measure to the inauguration ceremony.
What is the situation now with COVID-19 in Taiwan? How many new cases are you getting every day, roughly?
So we actually had no new case at all for 13 days before today. But today we had one imported case from Mexico, which is a Taiwanese male who was working in Mexico and just returned to Taiwan. But apart from that, we actually have no local case at all for 39 days already. So that is also one of the reasons why the hottest topic right now is not about the coronavirus outbreak anymore, but rather is about when is the time to ease the border control that Taiwan has been put in place since March.
And what is your president saying about that?
So our CDC just announced that there will be an easing measure will start to be introduced on individual cases, especially for business people trying to enter Taiwan for a short-term visit. And we will actually, in fact, start with 2 specific countries have been named for being considered for this kind of arrangement. New Zealand is actually the number one country that was being mentioned, and the other country is Vietnam. And the reason that our CDC consider New Zealand and Vietnam as 2 of the most viable candidates to start such an arrangement was because the situation in both countries have been very, very stable, and also at the same time, information have been kept very transparent over the last few months. So they are considering to start such arrangement with New Zealand travelers visiting from New Zealand and Vietnam.
How might that work in practice, William?
So essentially what that would happen is that any, let's say, Kiwi that is planning to come to Taiwan for business, they will arrive at the airport. They still need to go through a so-called 5-day quarantine. But, you know, originally it was 14 days, but now it's shortened to 5 days. And afterwards, if they were tested negative, then they will be let go and they can freely, you know, engage in their business schedule. And I would assume that there will be some sort of visa restrictions because in the past, Kiwis technically can arrive in Taiwan and enjoy a 90-day free visa-free stay. But I would assume, you know, nowadays, because it's specifically targeting short-term business visitors, so there will definitely be some certain arrangements in terms of the length of the time that they can stay. But, you know, I think judging from this announcement, I think both people in both Taiwan and New Zealand should be very excited about the further arrangement because the CDC, in fact, also talked about the possibility of joining the safe travel zone arrangement that has been underway, you know, for discussion between New Zealand and Australia. And there were also some rumors that, you know, Taiwan and Vietnam were also being considered as in Singapore, but right now Singapore is not really doing that well. So Taiwan and Vietnam were also mentioned as possible countries that could be included into that safe travel zone arrangement.
You're talking at the moment about business travel, not tourism.
Yes. So tourism, the Taiwanese CDC has made it clear that it will not be the priority for them to open up the border. Like right now, they're considering all sorts of different, you know, commercial and business travels first because you know, for economic growth reasons and concerns, and they don't want the border control to continue to hamper any business interaction between Taiwan and certain countries. So that's why they are starting to, you know, discuss and lay out, outline all the rules so that it can be implemented as soon as they can.
Now, getting back, and I know you were spoken the last time you were on, you talked to Karen Hay, who was filling in and,
yes,
on nights, and you would have talked then about the measures that Taiwan's taken. Just what's the situation now? For you, William, when you go out, do you still wear a face mask? And when you go and visit anybody in their dwelling or go to a cafe, if you are able to go to a cafe, you keep your distance from others?
Yeah, so basically masks are mandatory only on public transports, and that's what most people are doing. And like I said, like every day in the morning when I go to work, I take the metro, and that's when I put on my mask. But when I'm walking on the street, normally like fewer people are wearing the mask these days, just because, as I mentioned, you know, we almost have no case at all for 40 days right now in Taiwan locally. And but people are still very aware about, you know, lining up in stores. There are very clear designated spots for each person to stand at, so that, you know, in McDonald's, for example, they had like this spot to lay out the line that people should follow. And mostly everyone is following that very clearly. And if they're in a convenience store, for example, they usually put on a mask so that, you know, it's a courtesy to all the employees of that store or at that convenience store. But other than that, at cafes or restaurants these days, people are pretty much back to the very normal lifestyle. But, you know, like I think it's because of the fact that there hasn't really been any outbreak locally that happened since, yeah, March. And likely that will stay the way it is as long as Taiwan does not witness any surge of the outbreak. But once the border control has been loosened, the CDC has also, you know, mentioned the possibility of a resurgence. So we will have to see how the situation develops here.
And this little virus has a knack of doing that, because it seems to spread,
yes,
so easily before anybody notices it.
Right, exactly. So I don't know what's the situation right now in New Zealand, but hopefully it's, you know, people are feeling safer and safer day by day.
Yes, definitely.
As, New Zealand is basically, yeah.
We've had 4 days in a row now without new cases. So I think that's the best run we've had so far. I think best run, longest run of no cases.
Yeah.
Four, but it's still, I think, early days yet. But now, are people in Taiwan downloading contact tracing apps?
No. In fact, Taiwan does not use the so-called contact tracing app mechanism to track individuals who are required to be tracked. So the individuals that are only required to be tracked are anyone entering Taiwan from overseas, and they will receive a specific cell phone that's delivered by the border control officers. And once they get that phone, they need to prove that the phone is working correctly, and then they will be sent to a quarantine hotel or sent home, where they are guaranteed that they are only staying there by themselves. And for the next 14 days, the officials will be tracking the signal of that particular phone. So that's how the Taiwanese officials are doing the tracking, but it's rather not using the apps. And as for tracking where there have been, you know, signs of outbreaks throughout the city, as I said, because of the lack of, in fact, active cases right now in Taiwan, so that hasn't really been the practice that people have been embracing.
Looking back, William, now on Taiwan's success, given you are so close to where this initially broke into the human population, China, what do you think it was the success, the leadership from officials, or the willingness of ordinary Taiwanese to do what they felt was necessary to stop its spread that was the key point in Taiwan's success so far?
I would say the government did a very good job at leading the initiative in the very beginning. They immediately, relied on their experiences from the SARS epidemic in 2003. And then from there on, they informed the general public every step of the way. And the general public has been very, very receptive and also cooperative so far throughout the last few months. And I think the combined efforts from the government officials and the civil society is the key to the reason why Taiwan has been able to really, contain the spread of the virus and also make sure that it has the capacity to offer all kinds of basic protective gears like masks. And now Taiwan is one of the biggest exporter of medical surgical masks to all other countries around the world. And in fact, the president, during her inauguration speech yesterday, she started it out by highlighting this very important fact that Taiwanese people have been very impatient with the government's arrangements and measures. And she thinks that that actually also plays the key for the reason why Taiwan has been highlighted as one of the, best model for all the other countries around the world to follow over the last few months.
Have people in the debate about how to handle coronavirus talked about A, the effect it might have on individual freedoms, and B, the effect it might be having on business?
I think mostly people here, a lot of us have the experience of, being reminded of what is it like to actually having to go through lockdown and actually witnessing all the lockdowns around the world. People are pretty much, okay with the government's measures being a little bit intrusive in some extent, but also at the same time, they understand the intention behind the reason why the government is doing that. So there hasn't really been, I personally haven't really read or hear any, legit complaints about they think the government's measures have gone too far to limit their freedom or limit their ability to travel or engage in business. But there has been some impact on local business for sure, like the tourism industry, hotel industry. These are some of the hardest hit industries so far. But and we do see a rise of unpaid people, being asked to take unpaid leaves. I think the government has also been preparing to launch all kinds of subsidiary programs starting in July. So hopefully that will ease the economic pain and economic impact that the COVID-19 outbreak has brought to the locals from the economic perspective.
On the global political scene, though, despite being one of the countries that's been more successful in stopping the spread of the novel coronavirus, you are not on the WTO. You're not a member of the WHO, World Health Organization, are you?
Right. So that goes back to what we witnessed on Monday, and then the weeks before, which is the whole discussion and the global tug of war behind that, which is Taiwan regaining the observer status inside the WHO. And the only objection that is really very clear in the way of Taiwan succeed in doing that is obviously China's objection. And China, as one of the biggest countries in the world and also its growing influence inside the United Nations system, has been able to really exert a lot of pressure, especially on the WHO management, including the director general, who had been criticized for his very controversially close ties and, willingness to patronize China's, a performance throughout the entire outbreak. So on Monday, it ended up that even though New Zealand and other dozens of countries who have voiced their open support and willingness to, support Taiwan's bid to regain the observer status, they had to drop the bid in the end and focus more on making sure that the WHO is going to launch an independent investigation into the origin of the virus, and also, obviously, what's China's role and responsibility in this whole global outbreak.
William, it's a massive question to ask you with just over 10 minutes left in the interview, but China is very sensitive about Taiwan not being seen as separate from China. It's part of China. What do Taiwanese people now think? Do you feel you're part of China or in your own country?
So for people that's born in my generation, which tend to be born after 1990, basically we have always, you know, grow up feeling we are Taiwanese and we're separate from Chinese. And we don't hold any objection against Chinese as long as they don't force their views onto us. And that view and, you know, overall sentiment has been like amplified over the last few years, especially since our current president took office. She's very, she puts a lot of emphasis on defending Taiwan's sovereignty. And that has, you know, continued to be one of the biggest message that she's been championing at almost every international stage. So I think that really has resonate a lot with more and more Taiwanese people. Like survey found that 70% of the Taiwanese people has negative views on how the Chinese government has been describing, you know, its claims over Taiwan. So obviously that shows how much Taiwanese people nowadays, and especially people under the age of 45, have been feeling really strongly about their Taiwanese identity rather than considering, you know, they still have any sort of official ties with China.
William, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, William. That's William Yang, our overseas correspondent in Taipei, in Taiwan.